every day, Monday through Friday, by the makers of Ovaltine. But say, fellows and girls, tonight I have something I want to pass along to Mother and Dad. It's some important information. It's about vitamins and minerals. Now, you probably know about it already, but I want to be sure you tell your mother or dad about it. You see, our government says that 3 people out of every 4 in this country are under par physically, not up to their best at all, because they aren't getting enough vitamins and minerals. And yet, most of those people don't know what to do about it. They don't know how to be sure they're getting all the extra vitamins and minerals they need to be in tip-top health. And so, I know Mother and Dad will be glad to have you give them this important information. There is a way to be sure of getting all the extra vitamins and minerals any normal person needs. And it's a simple, easy way. Listen, here's all there is to it. Just drink Ovaltine night and morning. Just drink Ovaltine night and morning and eat 3 good meals a day, including fruit juice. Now, that's all. You won't need any vitamin pills or capsules unless you're really sick and should be under a doctor's care. Because Ovaltine gives you all the extra vitamins and minerals you need. All experts say you can profitably use for better health. So be sure you tell Mother and Dad this very night. With 2 glasses of Ovaltine and 3 good meals a day, you get all the vitamins and minerals you need. Not just 2 or 3 or 4, but all of them. Now remember, if you want to be big and strong, wide awake and full of pep, you want to be sure you're getting every single one of those important vitamins and minerals and plenty of them. So why don't you try the Ovaltine way and be sure? Besides, Ovaltine's a swell-tasting drink. You'll really like it. So start drinking Ovaltine regularly with meals or between meals beginning tonight. Now, be sure to listen at the close of tonight's adventure for a special announcement for the United States government. And now, we approach the climax of the chapter, Destruction from the Sky, with Captain Midnight and the Secret Squadron. Last time, you remember, Captain Midnight and his Secret Squadron agents made final preparations for the visit of the Royal Air Force bombers on their mission to destroy the aircraft instrument factory just outside the forest of San Michel. And then they carried the wounded British pilot, Lieutenant Brandt, toward the farmhouse of Monsieur Paul and Madame Yvonne. But just as they reached the clearing between the house and the woods, a warning came from Ichabod Mudd, who was acting as advance guard. Captain Midnight and Chuck Ramsey crept forward to join him, and the hearts of the 3 sank when they saw a Nazi soldier pacing back and forth on guard between the barn and the house. Our scene continues at once. Listen as Captain Midnight whispers,
"Come back a couple of feet."
"Yes, sir."
"You bet you, Captain."
"This is something new. There were patrols along the road, but they never before put a guard between the house and the barn.
They must be suspicious of Monsieur Paul, Madame Yvonne. They see that kid going back and forth a few times, and they must have figured out he was carrying messages."
"Look down the road. It looks as if there are groups of soldiers every 100 feet.
The thing of it is, what can we do to get the soldier off his post?"
"That's a tough nut to crack. One of us could slip around on the other side and make some kind of a noise, but right away..."
"That won't work, Iggy. The place would be alive with Nazi soldiers. Right now, everything's quiet. We want to keep it that way."
"I just don't know what to do. Seems as if there should be some..." "Look.
Oh, great Scott. The back door of the house is opening.
La Dame Yvonne standing in the doorway. Look, but loops. What's she got in her hand?"
"If it's a gun, I hope it's got a silencer."
"It isn't a gun. It's a platter. She's motioning to the soldier."
"La Dame Yvonne solved the problem for us. She's showing him some code. Good for her.
She knew we were up against it. If you ask me now, there's a pretty smart old gal.
And it's going to work, too. That soldier can't resist the prospects of a good meal.
There. See, he's going inside. Yeah, but how in the world will we get Lieutenant Brand into that hiding place beneath the kitchen while that soldier's in the house?"
"Now, listen, if Madame Yvonne figured this much out, she's got that one figured out, too. I'll bet she'll take him down into the cellar beneath the living room."
"That's about it. Look, someone else is standing in the doorway. It's Monsieur Paul. He's raising his hand. Hurry, we must get Lieutenant Brand."
While the Secret Squadron agents stealthily carry the wounded British pilot to the security of the hiding place beneath the kitchen, we go to a nearby town. There, in the white-walled room of a hospital, lies a wounded man, his head swathed in bandages. At the head of the bed
sits the Gestapo officer, Baron von Karp. Standing beside him is his assistant, Lieutenant Zoller, who is working for the underground movement in Germany and France. The man on the bed is moving restlessly to and fro and muttering incoherent words in a low tone. Listen.
What is he saying, Zoller?
I do not know, Excellency. I can make nothing from it.
But he tried to say something about the forest. The forest of San Michel.
San Michel. The forest of San Michel.
There you are. Now listen to me, Weaver. What is it about the forest of San Michel? What did you see there?
The forest of San Michel.
I know. But what about the forest of San Michel? You were flying over it. You are flying the Fock Wolf with the English markings, and you look down below. Now, what did you see?
The forest of San Michel.
Oh, Dona Veda, what is this? He keeps repeating the forest of San Michel. I go crazy listening to it.
But, Excellency, you must give him time. He has had a bad concussion. His mind is not clear.
But he remembers the forest of San Michel. Why does he not remember anything else? Listen to me, Weber. Can you hear me? Can you understand me? You were flying above the forest of San Michel. You looked down and you saw something. You had mentioned a white arrow. Don't you remember? What about the white arrow?
White arrow in the forest of San Michel.
Don't tighten up, man. I'm about to go crazy. What are you trying to say me? What about this white arrow?
I see a white arrow. In the clear.
Now we are getting somewhere. Now listen to that, fella. You saw a white arrow in the clearing, Weaver. Now, if it was an arrow, it was pointing somewhere.
White arrow. It points to the fat pie. Then I look again and it disappears.
Never mind that. Come, fella. We have work to do. There is more to this than I thought. There is some kind of a plot against us. We leave for the forest of San Michel at once. I will give the order for the search to begin. We will cover the forest foot by foot.
Now, we return to the forest of San Michel. It is shortly before 12 o'clock at night. And Chuck, Joyce, and Ichabod Mudd are gathered at the lookout position on top of the hill in the middle of the forest. They're anxiously scanning the skies to the west with their plane detectors. Listen.
I don't see them yet, but I'm sure they're coming.
Of course they're coming, Chuck. You know what kind of planes are going to be flying, don't you?
Say, that's right. Lieutenant Brent said his squadron's going to fly American-made bombers.
Yes, sir. American-made bombers is correct. Brand-new Liberator B-24s. And that ain't all. The fighter escorts are going to be American-made Brewster Thunderbolts, the deadliest fighter planes in the world. Boy, oh boy, won't that be a sight?
I've never seen one of those new Thunderbolt fighters. But say, does Captain Midnight know about this?
Oh, you bet he does. He says we can thank our lucky stars that the folks back home are buying war bonds to keep them flames flying across here.
Oh, boy, you can say that again.
Gee, it really is wonderful, isn't it? Everybody has a chance to do something in this war, and every war bond that is bought brings a victory closer.
Well, I know this much. We can depend on the hundreds of thousands of members of the secret squadron to do their part buying war bonds. They know that nobody can afford to slacken up until this job is really finished.
Correct. Even one war stamp a week from every friend of Captain Midnight's will buy a bomber mighty fast. And I know they'll keep it up. Oh, yeah, but say, what about those planes? I don't see anything yet.
Well, and anyway, you'd hear them before you see them.
Well, do you think anything happened? Maybe the secret squadron base in England didn't get Captain Midnight's message.
Oh, they got it all right. Anyway, it isn't quite 12, and you know how the RAF is. They do things right on time.
Yeah, and they'd be mighty careful to be on time tonight.
That's right. They're going to drop their bombs at exactly 12 o'clock in honor of Captain Midnight.
Hey, I'm looking toward the village of San Michel through the plane detector. And there's some automobiles coming along the road with dimmed headlights.
You sure about that, Chuck?
You bet I am. There isn't any question about it.
What now?
I saw a flash of light from San Michel. Wait a second. There it is again. Three shorts and a long.
That's a signal. Something's happening.
I'm looking toward the shack through the plane detector. I saw one flash of light from there. Just one flash and that's all.
That's Captain Midnight. He saw the signals from San Michel. Him and Monsieur Sebray must be leaving the shack now.
And that's the finish for us. The bombers haven't come yet and the Nazis must be starting to search the forest.
Those cars have stopped along the road. I can see a small fire. There's another one.
They're lighting torches. They evidently figure the British pilots won't drop any bombs here.
I can see all around the forest. Everywhere torches are being lighted. They'll be here in a couple of minutes.
It sure looks like the jig's up. Well, we caused them a lot of trouble for a while.
Where was that trail that Monsieur Paul told Captain Midnight about?
Monsieur... Hey, listen.
It's them, I tell you. It's them Liberator bombers.
They're on their way.
Oh, but can I get here in time?
George, come on.
Here we are, Captain.
Nazi soldiers are advancing from every side. Look down there.
They're almost to the shack. As soon as I find that, they'll know.
Where's Monsieur Sabre?
Here I am, Monsieur Chuck. Listen, you hear the plane?
Yes, Monsieur Sabre, but they won't get here in time.
Yeah, anyway, we don't know whether they're the ones we're looking for or not. A large formation passed over about an hour ago, and this one may be bound for the same place.
But it is almost 12 o'clock, Monsieur Chuck. That is the time agreed upon.
There goes some good flights. They've picked out one of the planes already.
Where's your plane detector, Chuck?
I'm looking through it now, sir. It's a Liberator, all right. I can see the twin tail assembly.
Looks to me like they're bound for some other place.
Then those Nazi soldiers have reached the shack. They're running around. I can see their torches through the trees.
How they know there's been someone here? What shall we do, Captain Midnight?
We'll sell our lives as dearly as possible. But no one is to open fire until I give the word.
They're getting closer, sir. We can't wait too long.
What about that trail, Sibre, the one Monsieur Paul spoke about?
No, no, there's no chance, Monsieur. The soldiers are on that side, too.
Look, something's happening. Those torches are getting farther away.
I have the explanation, mon capitaine. The soldiers are afraid. They are afraid of the bombs. They have seen the bombs drop in the forest before. They fear that it happens again.
The bombers are starting a run. Look, they're heading for the target.
And this time it ain't for the forest.
It's going to work, Captain Midnight. It's going to work.
Listen to that. They're coming as low as they can. There won't be anything left.
John, fight that plane. Nazi plane.
No, Monsieur Sabre, they're not Nazi planes.
Oh.
I'm looking at them now. It's our own escort of fighter planes and they're American Thunderbolts.
Oh, look out now. They're making the final run.
And these will be our town. When the bombs fall, then we will go. Look, Nazi soldiers have left the wood.
Then there comes the first bomb now.
It's about a two-tonner.
Get set for a terrible explosion. When it hits to the stake, the whole earth.
Now is the time to escape while the bombs are falling. Follow me.
Terrific detonation. The bombs dropped by the bombers of Lieutenant Brandt's Liberators continue to explode. And with the very earth trembling beneath their feet, the secret squadron agents follow the racing steps of Monsieur Sivre. Will they be able to dodge the groups of Nazi soldiers still surrounding the forest? Don't miss the thrill and excitement as Captain Midnight matches wits with the troops of the Gestapo in the new adventure beginning Monday, Fighting with the Commandos. But now, a special word from the Commander-in-Chief of the Secret Squadron. Fellows and girls, here is Captain Midnight himself.
Thank you, Pierre. Fellows and girls, I requested the privilege of saying a few words to you tonight for just one reason. I know your hearts are right with your older brothers and cousins and friends who are flying the American battle planes in this great war for freedom. And I know how much you want to help them in the job they have to do. But I just wonder if you know how much every single penny you invest in war bonds actually means to those brave American boys who are meeting the enemy in every part of the world today. Well, I'll tell you how much it means. It means everything to them. For without your loyalty, your unselfishness, your patriotism, your willingness to make real sacrifices to invest in war bonds, without these things, our boys could not go on. But they will go on and win. Because you are willing to keep on making the sacrifices that are necessary to buy more bonds for victory. So tonight, I just want to remind you to keep up the good work. Keep on buying more savings stamps every day. Keep on doing without things you don't really need. Keep on plugging for war bonds and more war bonds till the whole world is free.
And tune in Monday, same time, same station, to Captain Midnight. Until Monday, then, this is Pierre André, your Ovaltine announcer, saying goodbye and happy landing. This program came to you from Chicago. You are listening to the Blue Network.